From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Even before Mayor Pugh presented her new police commissioner to the press, Daryl D'Souza said he had put into action his plan to curtail violence with waves of police on the street. Plus, he promised,
I have a real strong message for the trigger pullers is that we're coming after them. It's going to be accelerated pace. The district commanders in all 9 districts know who they are, and we're coming after them. And I want to let everybody know it's going to be done in a constitutional manner.
We'll ask Brandon Scott and Ryan Dorsey, chair and vice chair of the City Council's Public Safety Committee, how will that work? And Ray Kelly will give us the view from the No Boundaries Coalition. It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. After more than 1,000 homicides in 3 years, Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh has named a new police commissioner, a 30-year veteran of the Baltimore Police Department. On Friday, she sent Commissioner Kevin Davis packing and named 53-year-old Daryl D'Souza, who came to Baltimore to attend Morgan State University and stayed, to head the 3,000-person police department. D'Souza promised quick results.
The citizens of Baltimore can expect to see a reduction. The citizens of Baltimore can expect to see us getting in front of crime immediately.
What can D'Souza do that Davis didn't? That's our question for two of the people who will vote on D'Souza's nomination. City Councilman Brandon Scott has represented the 2nd District since 2011 and chairs the Public Safety Committee. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Sheila.
And Ryan Dorsey has represented District 3 since 2016 and is vice chair of the committee. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Councilman Scott, in a nutshell, what change are you expecting from Commissioner-designate D'Souza?
Well, one, I'm expecting a change in the thinking, right? I think that what folks don't understand is, first, I think we have to be clear, and I know the vice chair shares this, no one should be expecting the police department to solely, by itself, in a vacuum, reduce crime in Baltimore. I think that we've been clear on the Public Safety Committee and the City Council understanding that we have to change that narrative, and we have to understand that the true way to reduce violence in Baltimore is through a holistic approach that includes police. But we do know that they play an important role in that. But under Commissioner D'Souza, what you can expect, one, is we're going to try to see more proactive but also more constitutional policing. You can someone who has lived here for 30 years, someone that is African-American, and yes, that does matter when you're talking about where Baltimore is right now with crime, but also with the consent decree and where the nation is around policing. But also, you can expect to see more innovative ways and us using our resources, the police resources, in a more efficient manner. Those are just a few things. But when you have a deep understanding of the community, like the commissioner does, or acting commissioner does, when you have a deep understanding of the police department, all that's right, but more importantly also all that's wrong, then that's someone that can come in and bring everyone together. And I think that for our time, listen, we in Baltimore for too long, when we look at agency here, it's whether it be police commissioner or whatever, we're always looking for this big rock star to come from outside of town to save us. What we need is someone here that understands Baltimore, the people, and its culture so that we can see a change.
Councilman Dorsey, what are you expecting?
I think that last comment there really captures a lot of the sentiment of people in Baltimore. Chasing after kind of a whale of an agency head is just like kind of chasing after a whale of a corporation trying to come to Baltimore and kind of fix our problems. There are not a whole lot of people that think that that's realistically going to bring about the change, particularly the lasting and systemic change that needs to take place in Baltimore City in order for us to reduce violence, reduce poverty, increase the quality of life for the people who live here, increase people's confidence that Baltimore is a place for them to stay and be able to raise a family and look forward to the next generation prospering in Baltimore City. I think that you know, a lot of people in my district, and I'm sure also in Brandon's district, are optimistic about the new commissioner because he has served in the Northeast, and people there have a good relationship and a good a positive memory of their experience with him there. But I think, you know, a lot of people in my district also when Kevin Davis was made commissioner also were optimistic about that. So I think the what's going to matter is, I think, like Councilman Scott said, is if we're backing up our police department with real holistic change in the quality of life of policies that support people living and working in Baltimore City.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Baltimore City Council members Ryan Dorsey and Brandon Scott about prospects and challenges for Daryl D'Souza, who was chosen by Mayor Pugh on Friday as Baltimore's next police commissioner. At his news conference with Mayor Pugh Friday morning, here's how D'Souza described what will be different.
The number one thing that you're going to see is more police officers on the streets, in the community, in uniform. They're going to have specific missions each and every day that they go out the streets. And when I say each and every day, I mean by shift. They're going to have specific missions by shift. And that mission is going to be centered around violence reduction.
At the same time, D'Souza said he hopes to reduce overtime, which is a big budget item for the police department. So you two will have to worry about the budget. How will this work?
Well, I think that Commissioner D'Souza understands things in a different way than Commissioner Davis did. For example, something that both Councilman Dorsey and myself and the council president have all been pushing is for us to have police doing police work and civilians doing civilian work in the police department. I know that that's a top priority for this police commissioner, to making sure that we are putting police officers on the street and not having them do work that can be done by a civilian. Also, the way that they...
And that you think that is has been... That was what was going on under Commissioner Davis?
That's what's been going on in Baltimore City Police Department since I've been alive. And I know that that will be a big push for this police commissioner. Also, how they respond to minor crimes, which is another thing that myself and my colleague, Mr. Dorsey, have been pushing, because so many departments have changed the way that they respond to minor crimes, like vandalism or threats over the phone or threats over the internet, and do it in ways that allow people to report those incidents over the phone, over the internet, so that it actually frees police officers up to be out there. This is the truth. Under the old model, under this model that we have existed in for so long, we don't have what people call the patrol bureau, but we should call it the call taking bureau, because what those officers have time to do is from bounce from one call to the next. And in a lot of cases, those aren't emergency situations. And we know that 911 is supposed to be for emergency situations. So I know that this commissioner is already looking at how he can respond to crimes in a different way so that officers can be freed up and not doing things. And you can do that. You can reduce overtime if you're using your officers in a more efficient manner. And of course, there's the big 200-pound elephant in the room, that they have to negotiate this new contract, so the schedule is not predetermined.
Negotiate it with the police union.
Yes, ma'am. And I think that with the relationship between this police commissioner and the police union and the administration and the community will be a lot different than the past.
I want to pick up on that a bit later, but let me pick up specifically on your point about an online portal or mm-hmm. phone calls. You did an op-ed about that in the Baltimore Sun, and I'm struck by what you two have laid out in op-eds in the Baltimore Sun about your views on police staffing, because Councilman Dorsey, in the piece you wrote Friday in the Sun about Commissioner Davis's firing, you wrote, quote, "A successful police department is one that is shrinking," end quote. Do you believe the police department is not understaffed?
The police department has nearly as many officers as it needs to be on par with other police departments in terms of per capita officers able to be on duty. But as Councilman Scott was just talking about, and as the police department has said for some time, they have officers sitting riding a desk who could and should be out on the street. And when Commissioner D'Souza says we're going to get more officers on the street and save money on overtime, well, all you have to do is bring those officers out and do what they've onto the street and do what they have been saying they need to do, which is civilianization, actually put people in administrative duties that are there just to do administrative work.
So you think with no increase in resources, the new commissioner can accomplish what he wants to accomplish?
I think more importantly that with no increase in resources in other ways around housing and employment, transportation, healthcare, education, it's completely unrealistic for us to think that we're going to reduce crime or violence in Baltimore City at all.
So you're looking to cut the police, the part of the city budget that is devoted to policing?
Absolutely.
Councilman Scott?
Well, I think that this is where my colleague and I disagree slightly. I think that that's something for me we have to do over time. And, of course, in my time in city government, we have eliminated police positions. When I was first elected, we had 3,000, and now we have roughly around 2,600, 2,700, depending on who you ask. But I think that what we have to do is that over time, my colleague is exactly right. Over time, if you're using our resources in a more efficient manner, Baltimore has, we don't necessarily need 3,500 cops in Baltimore in order for Baltimore to be a safer city. It's about how we're using the 26, 27, 25, 2400 that we have. But at the same exact time, there's no doubt that we need to make stronger investments in other parts of our city. We need to make investments not just in housing and education, but we actually need to make stronger investment in the families of those people that live in these communities. I know you've heard me talk about this at length, Sheila, about how you can look statistically and see across the city which young people are most likely to be the victims or perpetrators of violence over the next 10 years based on simple things, even up to their reading level at third grade. What would this city look like if we invested in those particular families and those particular young people now over the next 10 years? We have to start thinking about those things. But as far as policing, I think that we have to get back to things that work, because police can have an impact on violence in situations, but it has to be targeted. We cannot go back. Let me be clear. We cannot and will not go back to the days of we're going to arrest every single person that's standing outside on the corner, because that does not work.
And I want to talk to you about that too, but we're going to first take a quick break. Councilman Brandon Scott represents Baltimore City's 2nd District in East Baltimore. Councilman Ryan Dorsey represents the city's 3rd District in Northeast Baltimore. They are chair and co-chair of the Public Safety Committee. The councilmen are staying with us through this short break, and when we're back, the executive director of the No Boundaries Coalition of Central West Baltimore will join us. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about the change in command of the Baltimore Police Department after a year which saw 343 murders, a per capita record in Baltimore. Kevin Davis is out as commissioner after less than 3 years, and replacing him will be Daryl D'Souza, a 30-year veteran of the BPD. City Councilman Brandon Scott and Ryan Dorsey are with me. They are chair and vice chair of the Public Safety Committee. And joining us now is Ray Kelly, executive director of the No Boundaries Coalition of Central West Baltimore. The No Boundaries Coalition is an advocacy organization led by residents focused on building a unified and empowered Central West Baltimore across the boundaries of race, class, and neighborhood. Welcome to On the Record.
Thanks for having me.
Ray Kelly, what change are you expecting from Daryl D'Souza?
So I'm definitely expecting more visibility from the police department to kind of come out and show themselves. I agree with both the councilmen. It's not going to be about arresting or any other regressive tactic. It's just about introducing a new brand of policing. So I'm expecting with his patrol background to kind of reintroduce the police to the streets and let that be the focus I won't say I'm a big proponent of hiring more police. I'm more effective policing needs to happen in the city. So hopefully that would be the first step, is to actually show police visibility as well as collaboration. Because as everyone has said, that right now we're in a crucial moment where it's going to take all of our efforts combined to actually control the violence and the circumstances in the inner city.
You have all mentioned not going back to broken windows policing, stop and frisk. You didn't use those phrases, but that seemed to me to be what you were saying. At his press conference with Mayor Pugh on Friday, D'Souza spoke about an approach to policing called hotspot policing. I'd like to listen to part of what he said.
The concept is that police officers, they go to problematic areas, they go to hotspots in their respective districts, and they spend time. It's called dosage. They spend time there. And when they spend time there, they're addressing three things. They're addressing the actual geography, the environment itself. They're addressing any potential suspects that may live there. So serving open warrants, looking at those trigger pullers, looking at the violent repeat offenders. And the third concept behind that is looking at someone who may or may not be a victim and just distributing literature, for example. Hey, this is a high crime area. And we had incidents in the past. In order to safeguard yourself, you know, watch how you display your personal property and things of that nature.
NBC News did a piece over the weekend that drew parallels between hotspot policing and the kind of aggressive arrest Baltimore police did during the years Martin O'Malley was mayor, 1999 to 2007. Violent crime went down, as you know, but some people argue that trust with the community was broken. So, are you worried about this hotspot policing approach?
Yes, I am in particular, I think, because this is like hyper-policing the most hyper-segregated places in the city. It's hard for me to talk about it from a representative standpoint because I don't represent a district that has any hotspots in it. I have this very homogeneously middle-class yet diverse racially district in the city where violent crime is almost non-existent, and what we do have seems to come in from other places, often county people. It's not even, you know, it's not originating in my district. Things just happen to happen there, like people exchanging aggressive in cars and things like that, and then it turning into a gunfire or something like that. But this is really not much different than what we've seen in the past, which is to hyper-police the places that need resources more than they need police. And Baltimore is already, you know, concentrating in a way that no place else in the country is. You know, the Freedom to Thrive report from the Center for Popular Democracy cites Baltimore City as the highest per capita rate of police spending anywhere in the country. And of all the places that they study, policing is not reducing violence, and people and cities continue to spend on policing despite people saying this is not what's going to reduce violence. So we're not just doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong like everybody else, but more wrong than everybody else.
Ray Kelly.
And I feel the same way. So the consent decree kind of explicitly says that you cannot use a location as a probable cause, so to speak. So what
we should say, the consent decree is this agreement between the city of Baltimore, and the U.S. Justice Department to reform the police department.
Correct. And one of the mandates is that they not, for lack of a better term, profile. So this is creating a certain communal criteria to profile in this area, which are still the neighborhoods that suffered the ills of the unconstitutional and racist, so to speak, practices of the Baltimore Police Department in the past. So really, this hotspot approach allows the same practices to happen in the same neighborhoods. So,
Councilman Scott?
Yeah, no, I understand both what my colleague and Ray are saying. I think that for me, the only difference is I think it depends on, everything depends on how you do it. And I think that like Ryan, for the most part, I represent this homogenous thing, and people like to come in Baltimore County and get caught with guns inside of our neighborhoods. But there are some parts of my district, and I always just think about Bella Edison, for example, where there's this line that you have to walk, right? Where I'm trying to tell the community that we have to have this holistic approach, and we have to think about things other than policing. But at the same time, I have this whole community clamoring me for the police to come and help them with people who don't live in their neighborhood, but like to come into their neighborhood and take it over at all days and hours of the night. I think that what in my understanding of what they're trying to do with the hotspot policing is not do it in a traditional sense where they're just going to come and be going crazy, but they're going to be targeted to the people that are committing the violence, but also have other things involved, and under the mayor's new approach, have the other city agencies as well. It's not going to be just a policing thing, but I think that time will tell. But what we're going to have to do as the council,
and the council
is to make sure that everything that they're doing is being done constitutional, and it doesn't break the consent decree agreement, and that we're not allowing them to go back to do things like that. And all the power that we do have is, which is basically just to yell and scream, but we have to be able to try to hold them accountable.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Brandon Scott, chair of the City Council's Public Safety Committee, and Ryan Dorsey, vice chair of the committee, and Ray Kelly, executive director of the No Boundaries Coalition in Central West Baltimore, about what they hope to see at the Baltimore Police Department now that a new commissioner, Daryl D'Souza, has been named. I just want to pick up on the consent decree. Does a change like this, a change of commissioner, affect the consent decree? Is it on a completely separate track?
So for me, I feel like this change can only help our process, because really we've been pretty much stalled in process for a year. It's like slowly progressing into implementation where we need this new spark. So the previous commissioner was engulfed in the violent surge, and there wasn't a lot of focus on making these reforms. There was more focus on controlling the violence, where really there should be a focus on rebuilding the trust so we can accomplish both at the same time. So hopefully this new commissioner kind of re-sparks that engagement with the community so we can actually start to make this happen.
I know you want to say something, but let me just throw in a question too. Maybe you can address them both. Does Baltimore have the resources to both do what the commissioner designate wants to do and what the consent decree may require? Can Baltimore afford to do both?
Well, so I'll just say quickly that if the consent decree is in any way about paying attention to the interests and voices of people in Baltimore City, we are absolutely certainly going to be better off with Commissioner D'Souza than Kevin Davis. I've never worked with anybody in government than Kevin Davis who was less interested in listening to other people's opinions and perspectives.
And you made that clear in the Sun, although I should say there are other people who did not have that experience with Kevin Davis.
I think that yes, we do have the resources to do both. I think that you have to do both, right? You can't, look, Ray knows this from growing up in West Baltimore. I know this from growing up in Park Heights and just being on both sides of the fence, so to speak. The truth is that the police can't be effective if they don't have relationships in the community. As one of my friends always says, who's a police officer, listen, if I just go out on the corner and no one wants to talk to me because every time I come out on the corner, I'm cracking someone's heads or arresting somebody, when something happens, who am I going to talk to? So we have to do both. And I think that this will be a shot in the arm to having those conversations. But the reality that we all must remember and understand that the commissioner serves at the pleasure of the mayor. So the message about the consent decree simply and most importantly has to come from her, because they all, no matter who's the commissioner, they're only allowed to do whatever the mayor tells them to do.
I appreciate you all taking time to talk to us about this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for having us.
Ray Kelly is Executive Director of the No Boundaries Coalition in Central West Baltimore. Brandon Scott and Ryan Dorsey are Chair and Co-Chair of the City Council's Public Safety Committee. And we've been talking about the new commissioner, Daryl D'Souza. Tom Hall will have more about it on midday today at noon. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.